My name is Eamon Breen.
The play is called Sinead by Eamon Breen. I'm playing the character Jimmy.
My name is Hilary Rose. I play the part of Sinead.
The idea for this play came one day when I was going to work. I was standing at a bus stop and I felt the sun on my face. And I looked around and I saw many people waiting for the bus as well. And I thought, what if I told a story of somebody from this bus stop? What if I told the story from their perspective? And what if I told the story from a perspective that they were almost whispering the story into my ear?
It's about her experience in London during the London bombings. I suppose you'd call it egocentric. It's all about her life and how it affects her during that period.
We are dealing with an unreliable narrator. And I guess it's for the audience to decide whether or not this human being is telling the truth about their experience or is interpreting their experience as reality when it may not be. Now, that is the underlying story going on here. Otherwise, it's about a woman in London who's been involved in a near-death experience and is reflecting. So there you go.
I'm originally from Dundalk, but I now live in London. Went to school in Dundalk, Christian Brothers School. I went to college in Dublin. I went to Trinity College, which I really enjoyed. I studied psychology and economics. I really liked psychology. I detested economics. I think I probably failed every economics exam and test that I had. So eventually I realised I needed a break. So that's when my travelling started. And I eventually went back a few years later and I finished my degree then. And I started working in the health service.
I was DJing. I was a DJ. Yeah, and I actually had a show here on RT Pulse for a little bit. I DJed for years since I was about 17 years old and I did all the festivals all over Ireland and I did all the nightclubs in Cork and Dublin and everywhere else and it was great fun. It was great fun.
I think it formed really early in my psyche that performance was going to be part of my life because I grew up in a very sort of strict Catholic family and initially, when I was about 4 years old, I thought I'd be the Pope, you know. Decided to become an actor when I was 13 years old. I had an accident. I lost my right eye. I was hit with a bow and arrow, which sounds very traumatic. But actually, I had great supports around me and it was an accident. It was a bit touch and go. So at a very young age, I decided that I wanted to perform. And I didn't know whether that would be as a musician or as an actor. And I tried both and the acting sort of stuck. In my 20s, as I went to Trinity, I did an actor training course there. And then I came out and I started working. And that was, oh my God, that was 25 years ago. Yes, that's what I've been doing full time.
I went to an evening class at City Lit in London. It was once a week for a term. It was very interesting. There was about 35 people in the class to begin with. And the very first exercise, the first night was, we all had to write a paragraph on a theme. We were given a subject, can't remember what it was. And then we had to read it out to everybody else in the class, which was really interesting. And the second week, there was 10 people less in the group and eventually got to about 10 people after the fourth week. And this was our routine every week. You wrote something in the class and everybody critiqued it. So when I finished that course, I went to a play reading in a pub in North London. And while I was there, I was introduced to a couple of other people who had a writing group themselves. And I asked to go along, and I did, and I've been going for about 10 years.
I always wanted to be an actor, and I suppose I went and I trained. I trained a little bit later than everybody else. People kind of finished school, went into drama school or did it that way. But I actually went back and trained when I was 25. I started in Coláiste de Stefánnefa in Cork. And then I trained for a little bit in the Gaiety. And then I trained for a little bit in the Irish Film Academy. And I suppose at that time, there was no, you know, drama degree programme or no BA honours for drama students or for actors. You kind of had to find your route. So that's what I did. I trained with different courses and different people that I liked and I thought were doing something. So I trained in theatre as well as film and TV, and I ultimately wanted to end up in film and TV, which I did. But there was nothing angled to that, you know, to that at the time, unless you wanted to go to London, and I didn't want to go to London. So graduated and floundered around for a little bit, as people do, and then found my footing and started to work in comedy quite a bit. And that was, yeah, I went from there. I never really saw myself as a comedy actor, but that's kind of where I cut my teeth and where I learned and, yeah, expanded from there.
I think the accident has done both things for me. Of course, there's some things I'm not suited to quite simply because of the way I look, but it also has really helped me in terms of especially film and television. A lot of it, if you're playing smaller roles, as I have for a long time, it's I'm very characterful in my face. So I lend myself to certain, you know, to bring some characterful stuff to certain projects. And then actually with other stuff, I find that you could just take like a normie character, for want of a better word, and give them my look. And it's those things marry very well because we're all quirky and weird in whatever sense. We're all pretty much, you know, everyone has their little things. I have a style, I suppose. So, yeah, there's certain things I wouldn't be interested in playing the parts, I suppose, that I'm not suited for in other people's eyes. And then, you know, the parts that I do get, some I really don't like and I just do the work, and some I absolutely adore, you know, and this is the way I look. So that's that. Every actor deals with rejection all the time, and we deal with our celebration, you know, maybe, you know, 1% of the time, and that's what it's all about. And yeah, I get my jobs because of the way I look and the way I sound, like everybody else.
The formative experience for me was when I read The Great Gatsby. So Great Gatsby by Scott Fitzgerald, one of the great novels of the 20th century. It was on our Leave Insert curriculum. And we had several novels to read, but that was the one that really captured me, in the sense that it was written in a way that was very present. The characters were real. It was so different to growing up in Dundalk in the 1970s. However, I felt I could enter that world. There was enough in the book, in the plot, in the characters, that took me out.
Looking at Alien and Sigourney Weaver playing the character of Ripley in Alien was always something that I very much aspired to, because, you know, growing up watching females on screen, it wasn't very inspiring. And I say that with respect to those actresses, but it's the roles that were being written for them weren't very inspiring to me. They were love interests, or they were bystanders or secondary characters or all those things. And I feel like for me, when I watched Alien and I watched Sigourney Weaver play Ripley, I was like, ah, she's the heroine of this story. And it's interesting because I think that film was initially written for a male. They didn't even change the name. I think they changed the first name from a male's name to Ellen Ripley. They just had full faith that she could do it, and she did do it, and you couldn't really see anybody else doing it. So I think when I think of an inspiration as an actor, I always think of Sigourney Weaver in that role. She was cool.
That moment of change, I suppose, or that moment of growth where you decided you were really going to commit into, you know, being an artist. I 100% know that that was when I did. Enda Walsh is a friend of mine, and we did The War with Farce with Garrett Lumbard and Dennis Conway. And it was directed by Michael Murphy. And that was a formative experience for me, because I grew doing that play and fell in love with the art of theatre and acting, and the marriage of, you know, people playing together and creating something that affects people, good or bad. And that was a huge change for me. I'm not sure that I would still be performing had I not had that experience. And I know that Enda has had that sort of influence on a lot of people, so I'm very grateful for it.
There is, in fact, parallels between The Great Gatsby and Sinead. When we read a book, when it's got a narrator, there's an assumption we make that what the narrator is telling us is true, is correct, and we assume that until we get to a point where they tell us otherwise, or something contradicts what they say. So in Sinead, we hear everything from Sinead's perspective. However, we do hear the voices of her close friends and family, and they give us a slightly different perspective on how she is.
The Young Offenders, what was that like? Yeah, it's been a wild ride. It's still going, you know. We have a season coming out soon. It was amazing. You know, it was an amazing period of my life, and myself and my partner, we created something together that was, we just didn't expect it to do what it did. You know, it started with a movie. You know, I was pregnant with our first child at the time. So it was a real gamble because we self-financed that. Yeah, and it was a bit of a fly by the seat of our pants gamble, but it paid off. And then, you know, we got the series on the back of that. So it's been wild. It's been wild. Yeah. 8 years and going strong.
I still remember the first play I saw. Yeah, I was 15 or 16, and it was The Woman in Black, Alan Stanford performing in it in the Tivoli. And I remember sitting in the audience and being genuinely getting frights and going, this is so much fun. I can't believe that this works. This is better than watching a film and it's live and everybody's communing and having the same thing. So that was my first experience of actually seeing a play. Stephen Malatrat, isn't that? I think that's the author.
I always loved Paulo Coelho's The Alchemist. I read it at a time in my life where I was very much at a crossroads. I think I was 21 or something, or 20, reading that book. It's a really beautiful book. And I now feel like when I look at books that are written with intention that he writes with, that's a very subtle but very powerful thing. And I understand that now, a long time later.
First play I remember going to see was at the Dundalk Maytime Festival. So this would have been in the 70s. And I remember going to see amateur production of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, classic Tennessee Williams plays. And I suppose that gave me a link to drama and seeing a story unfold on the stage and the different perspective of the characters.
I've seen it time and time again. There is no setup for family in this industry. It's not family happy. And I've seen many partnerships, marriages, families break down as a result. And I think it's a real shame. And I think it's because, obviously, you know, time is money. So you're working, you know, all the hours God gives you. And you have to do that on a consistent basis, particularly if you're a crew. If you're working as crew, you're working away from home a lot and you're working these insane hours. And it's very hard to sustain anything else outside of your work. So because I had viewed that before I became a mum, and then it became glaringly apparent when I was a mum, that I am a mum, I made decisions based on that. And my decision was to prioritise my children and my family rather than chasing old goals, we'll say. You know, it really shifts, for me, it shifted my perspective massively on what's important and what's not. And it doesn't mean you have to give up on your goals or aspirations, but it's just a reshaping of it, in my mind, all for the better. But it's tricky. It's not an easy landscape for families, and I think it needs to change, actually.
I write very much when I've got the time, and that's either during the week, if I can, but usually Sunday is my writing day. So what I tend to do is take about 3 hours on a Sunday morning, if I can, and I will work on a few things at a time. I tend to have maybe a short story, and I would also perhaps have a play, either a stage play or a radio play or something, perhaps for Zoom. Yeah.
I think in everybody's experience of, you know, being Irish, you know, in my case in the early 80s and attending Mass every Sunday, as a child, that was incredibly boring. So you could feel, but everybody was there and it was a great community. And you are literally witnessing costume, makeup in some cases, definitely makeup in some cases, a flamboyancy to the congregation, but also obviously to the people on the stage, for want of a better word. And the men up there on the altar had the power and they had to be listened to. They got all the attention. Therefore, you know, as a child witnessing this, you think maybe that's what you should be doing. You certainly were. I was certainly imagining myself up there preaching my own sermons. Therefore, you start to form this kind of position as a young person to maybe I'll get myself up there on that stage and deliver my own thoughts and feelings, and maybe I'll be able to connect. And there's a beautiful thing happening despite what was going on in the church. There's a beautiful thing happening where you are witnessing ritual amongst large gatherings of people. And within theatre, with going to the cinema, with anything really in the arts. It's about gathering and witnessing. And that's a beautiful thing, to mark our experience together. And I think that's what we're all at, isn't it?